Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk Call-In Radio Show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Well, hello and welcome to All Paws Pet Talk. This is Martin Dealey and I'm delighted to be with you today. I've got two fabulous guests. One of them a good friend of mine, known him for a long, long time, one of the basic inventors of remote trainers, or in those days they were called shock collars. And I want today to find out, you know, about them and why we can get rid of some of the myths around them and learn a lot more. So I'm welcoming Greg Van Kuren from eCollar Technologies. And you've been in the business a long time now, Greg, I believe.
Yes, I have, Martin. Actually, this is my second at bat. Back in the 90s, I started a company called Enotech. And we actually sold over 900,000 stimulation devices between the fences and the bark collars and the remote trainers. And then a couple of years ago, I started another business called eCollar Technologies and brought with it some innovations that we didn't have back in the 90s. One of the things that we've been able to do in the new collars is to really control the stimulation.
Sorry, Greg. I was going to say, this is something which is quite fascinating. I mentioned that horrible term, shock collars, I know, because a lot of people get in touch with me and say, you know, do you use shock collars? Well, today, I like yourself, I call them remote trainers, and I talk about a sensation or a stimulation. Just tell me a little bit about what has changed from those early days to now, from when you first developed them, way back 30, 40 years ago, I think.
Yeah, well, back then, we used a narrow pulse stimulation, which a lot of manufacturers still do. In the last couple of years, we developed a wider pulse, more like a muscle stimulator versus a TENS unit where a doctor might want to kill a nerve or desensitize a nerve. So with this wider pulse stimulation, the sensation's more of a grabbing of a pulsing nature, not the old shock nature. And another thing with the shock is the control of the stimulation. The shock comes from the dog being overwhelmed by the stimulation, where with our new products, we have a dial where you can actually turn the level up while you're watching the dog, and you can find that first perceived level that the dog feels that sensation, and that's what we call the working level. And so you don't have to overwhelm the dogs as we did back in the old days. In the old days, shock term, because it basically shocked the dog. It startled them, and that was the way they trained it. They attempted to startle the dog. Where now, as you know, we're trying to create a sensation just to get the dog's attention, to communicate to the dog that, hey, I'm over here, or maybe you're not doing what I want you to do. It's more of a communication device than the old days. It was strictly for breaking, dogs that might, dig and it was more of a corrective device. But today, with the new technology, it's more of a communicative device.
Yeah, in fact, some people still today in the manufacturers call it a correction device. And I will admit I use it and I love it because I can hand the controls to my clients so easily once I've trained a dog or if I work with their dog. But I consider it now a training device. And you talk about stimulation. It's more of a sensation, isn't it? It's how you interpret it.
Absolutely. The sensation the dog feels doesn't have to be very high. I mean, we have dogs that, we have 100 levels in all our products, and we have dogs that work at levels that personally I can't even feel. Mm-hmm. But, they respond to it, and, you don't have to use any more, stimulation than what gets the dog's attention. But with our dog, our collars, we do have a boost feature. So when you do go outside and there is more distractions, dogs can turn off the sensation. So you do have to have the ability to have a little bit higher sensation when the dog is distracted. And they're outside and they're smelling things. They just seem to, be able to block, the sensation from the e-collar.
Yeah, in fact, you have a couple of safety features. I know that you have the boost. I believe on the boost, though, you can even set the amount of the boost. So it can be a small amount for dogs that feel the sensation, or it can be a larger amount for dogs which can be, if you like, totally concentrated on a sniff, reading the newspaper, I call it.
Exactly, yeah. You got to have adjustable boost these days. You can't not every dog is different, and it's not size of dogs. I mean, we have 150-pound bull mastiffs that respond to 15, but then you might have a 25-pound beagle that might need to go to 40. So it's not necessarily size, it's just how the dog perceives the sensation and the tolerance the dog might have for our type of stimulation.
Tell me more, because one of the things I'm always concerned about is that a client will turn it up too high. You can actually, on yours, control the maximum level, can't you?
Yes. We have the a patented lock and set feature where you can lock it in to whatever level, the max that you want to give this dog, and it'll stay at that level. Another feature we have is you can actually put the transmitter into a momentary mode, which means both the stimulation buttons operate in a momentary fashion, which is a very short pulse. It's basically gone before it's there. With that mode, you really cannot overstimulate the dog because it's such a short amount of energy. There's just not enough of it to ever even, to hurt a dog.
Yeah. Yeah, you've also got vibration, haven't you?
Yeah, vibration. A lot of people find that, after the dog is initially trained with the stimulation, the vibration can work in lieu of the stimulation. Sometimes the vibration can be overwhelming for smaller dogs. It's counterintuitive, but it's actually smaller dogs respond to the stimulation better than the vibration. It tends to actually scare them more than the sensation from the low-level stimulation.
In fact, one of the things I find vibration useful for is when, again, you say larger dogs, because small dogs can spook a little bit, and you'd think vibration would be more gentle, but it's not compared to the stimulation with some dogs. But if the dog really is on a sniff, as I say, reading the newspaper, I find a little tap on vibration really gets him out of it, and then I can stay on the same level of stimulation, which is that tap that catches attention and helps you to work with them.
Exactly, yeah. People don't realize actually the vibration can be more of the corrective stimulus versus using the higher level stimulation. You can use the vibration really, like you said, to take a dog off reading the newspaper and get his attention.
One of the things that always worries me as well, I mean, I haven't got streetlights here, is at nighttime. We go out, and I've got a black dog on a black night, and I'm not quite sure where they've gone sometimes. But you've got a way of overcoming that, haven't you?
Yeah, we've got a feature which is remotely controlled from the transmitter. So you can actually turn on the light. You can either strobe it if you want to conserve the battery, or you can turn it on continuous. And we've had so many people, smart dogs, they end up using the light on their collar as their flashlight. They go out, and you can see them twisting their head so they're shining it on objects that they're investigating. And I also had a guy call the other day that said, the light saved my dog's life. And I was like,
I got to interrupt there, Greg. We're going to go for some advertising and our sponsors for the show, and I'll come back to you. Stay where you are.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo, to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
Your pet may be sick and not even know it. Your pet may appear healthy, but a vast majority of healthy-looking pets are actually infected with parasites and other infections that do not manifest themselves until they overwhelm the pet, and the pet finally appears sick. Sometimes, by then, it is too late. To find out more about how you can help your pet to stay healthy, then go to www.quantumvetcare.com. That's www.quantumvetcare.com. www.quantumvetcare.com.
Hey, pet lovers, please listen up. I want to introduce to you Nature's Logic, the most natural full-line pet food ever made. And here's why. Nature's Logic is made with a variety of high-quality proteins, such as beef, chicken, lamb, and venison. You will never find any synthetic vitamins, minerals, or anything else synthetic in Nature's Logic. Only real nutritional foods, such as dried blueberries, apples, carrots, cranberries, spinach, and almonds. Foods loaded with natural vitamins and minerals, as made by nature, not a chemist. Nature's Logic is committed to providing the highest quality and safest nutrition for the furry members of your family. So folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit the Nature's Logic website at naturslogic.com and find a store near you. Nature's Logic can be found in many independent stores throughout Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So do your pets a favor and start feeding them Nature's Logic and treat them to the very best. Nature's Logic is truly 100% natural, the way pet foods should be.
Hello, this is Martin Dealey, and welcome again to All Paws Pet Talk. I cut Greg off very quickly, unfortunately, but I'm coming back to you, Greg, because I want to know about these lights. As I said, used it.
What happened was a guy called up, and he had a pug that he was out at night, and an aggressive neighbor's dog, I guess, busted out of the house, came running over to his dog. He thought his dog was going to get attacked. He turned on the flashing light. It scared the big aggressive dog, and evidently his pug chased the other dog back to the house because the flashing light scared the other dog, so basically it saved the dog's life.
As I say, it's lovely because I'm in the countryside and I have quite a big paddock area, and I let them out and I train dogs and I put a collar on them. Of course, I introduce them to the collar and then take them out off leash after about day three. But sometimes I lose them in the dark, and I just press that little button, and on the light comes, I say, oh, there you are. And usually with the light, I can tell them whether they're peeing or pooping, whether they've done their business for the night. So I appreciate that a lot, I can tell you. It's quite fascinating.
Yeah, we've had coon dog hunters use it as a cheap GPS at night, because it's fairly bright, and on a dark night, you can actually see that light 200-300 yards away if there's nothing in the area. And so it's kind of a cheap and dirty tracking light for the coon dog people.
Let's go back to actually the use of it, because a lot of people seem to think with the e-collar that it is still kind of telling them they're doing wrong. It's not, is it? And if somebody's going to buy one of your products, what's the first kind of things that they should be thinking of and doing?
Well, you know, it's very important with an e-collar that you realize that the lowest level of stimulation that gets the dog to respond is going to produce the best results long term. And and there's a lot of studies out there about the cortisol levels, and you know, there was actually a study in Canada that proved that low level stimulation actually produced the least amount of cortisol compared with pinch collars, choker collars, and other techniques in training. So with the use of the low level, you can actually improve your training. You can improve your timing because it's split-second timing. There's a lot of advantages to using a remote e-collar over some of the other traditional training techniques that are out there.
How, you know, I mean, I presume your car comes with good instructions and things like that, but I suppose it's like the medicine I get. I start to take it before I read it, and it tells me I shouldn't be using it if I've got this. What would you recommend that someone's going to buy one of your collars, how can they introduce it to their dog? And does it matter what specific breed it is or size it is?
Well, I mean, the honey dog, I mean, the different temperaments, you know, require a different techniques, but we like people to introduce the collar to the dog in a very positive way, and mm-hmm. one way to do that is, for the first couple of weeks, don't even turn it on. And every uh-huh. time you put the collar on, give the dog a treat and praise. And then, you know, after the dog's used to the collar and he associates it with a positive, a treat, then you can introduce that first perceived stimulation. And maybe for the next week or so, when the collar's on the dog, you give the dog a little bit of the stimulation while you're giving the dog a treat. Now the dog associates the stimulation with a treat. Now you've mm-hmm. taken the negative of the stimulation away, so when you do get the collar out, the dogs that train this way, they're very happy to see the collar. They want the collar to be put on them because, you know, they associate with the freedom of running around and sniffing and having fun outside, and they don't associate it with the negative that can be associated with the collar if you put it on and you turn it up and you stimulate them and you don't introduce it correctly like they did in the old days. But with the proper introduction to the collar, it becomes a positive. And then later on, when you do have to turn the stimulation up a little bit, it's not such a negative to the dog that he interprets it as a punishment. He'll interpret it as, oh, it's additional communication. I'm not listening, so I need to pay attention more.
In fact, it's quite fascinating with some of the dogs. They actually do look up and their tail wags and says, yeah, what do you want? Sorry, I missed out on that one. It is quite fascinating once you've introduced it correctly, how the dog begins to see it as something which, if you like, helps him rather than corrects him.
Absolutely.
Do you find that?
The dog enjoys more than off-leash running and investigating and, you know, having its time of its own, but still under the control, you know, of the master, so you don't have dogs running in the street and are going over toward aggressive dogs or, you know, getting in areas where there might be, you know, snakes or something, but still having the control, but letting the dog have that off-leash time to get the exercise and, you know, and just the mental, you know, outing they need to, you know, to be a happy dog.
Yeah. Tell me, how do you know when the dog is just feeling it? When you go out in the field, we've done it, had the collar on, we've given certain treats, and you're quite right. I mean, my dogs put their heads out and say, let's have my necklace on. We're going out to play. We're going out to train. We're going out for a walk. They know it's a precursor, as you might say, to enjoying something.
Sure.
But when you go out and you're starting to find that level, and as you say, it's quite right. Sometimes I know with your unit particularly, I've gone, I don't believe this. They're feeling a 5, they're feeling a 10, and yours goes up to 100 or whatever it is. And I'm thinking, this is impossible. But they are. How do you know that they're feeling it?
Well, I mean, the first time it's probably a two-person job because it'd be better to have one of the people looking right into the dog, you know, face to see if there's any kind of movement in their eyes. But if you turn the stimulation up on continuous, very slowly until you see any kind of a reaction from the dog. Mm-hmm. If you're by yourself, obviously, you know, you can put the collar on the dog and you can, you know, let the dog, you know, go investigate and then you turn it up and then when you see them. You know, sometimes they'll itch it. You know, every dog reacts differently, but typically, you know, there'll be some kind of reaction, and it shouldn't be yelping. If there's any vocalization, you're way too high. You need to turn it down. And there shouldn't be any jerking or anything with the head. They just might twist their head a little bit. And, you know, normally most dogs respond to under 15 out of 100.
Yeah. In fact, it's very low, and I'm going to say something which sounds very silly, I suppose, but many times when I'm working with a dog, I feel that he's sensing it rather than see it sometimes. It's a strange, once you've worked with the dogs a long time and they're giving you the kind of body language which you understand, and all of a sudden there is that different little flicker of the eye. There's that little kind of puzzled kind of head move, isn't there? But, you know, it's just quite fascinating. People need to be able to recognize that.
Yeah, I mean, most people can with their own dogs. And,
yes,
you know,
they can.
Professionals like yourself, I mean, they're able to see it right away. But, you know, we try to tell people to, you know, err on the low side before you, you know, would go high. You can always, you know, you always go higher later. But, you know, if you think the dog has any kind of sensation that they are feeling it, they probably are feeling it. And you can stop right there, and then that's a level you can work with
Greg.
In the initial stages. And we do find, too, that some dogs require a little bit more at first.
I'm going to have to interrupt you. I love it. You just carried away. It's fabulous. It really
I love this business. I could talk about this all day.
If people need to learn more, they go to ecollar.com.
Fantastic.
Is that correct? Yes. Ecollar.com. It's Ecollar Technologies. This is Greg Van Kuren. And, Greg, I got to say thank you. I mean, you're so enthusiastic. It's fabulous. It really
is.
Thank
you very much. Nice to talk.
Martin.
See you later.
I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all 4 paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Is your pet eating too fast? Well, we have the healthy solution. IQ is the perfect solution to help your cats and dogs lead a better life. With their new patented design, their bowl will make your dog and cat live a culinary experience by having them eat like nature intended. Having to play with their food not only reduces the chance that they have weight problems, but will also let them enjoy the chase, like they would in nature. Designed by a veterinarian technician, this bowl was acclaimed by veterinarians and behaviorists around the world and won Becker's Best in Show at the Global Pet Expo in 2012. Get one for your cats or dogs today at your local store or online at AIKIOU.com. That's AIKIOU.com.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
It's Martin Dealey here again, and welcome to All Paws Pet Talk. And you know what? Last night I went to a client's, and their poor dogs, golden retrievers, had some terrible skin problems, all allergies. And you know, it's coming more and more these days. I'm never quite sure what's causing it. I've been in dogs for, I hate to say, 40, 50 years, and I haven't seen allergies like we have today. And therefore, I'm really, really pleased. We've got a gentleman, Stephen Goo, who's developed a product which he assures us will help us with the allergies today, and we can have a look at some of the problems associated to it. So, Stephen, welcome. Nice to have you with me.
Martin, a pleasure to not only speak with your listening audience, but yourself, sir. A bio review of your background speaks very well.
Thank you so much. Well, let's see how we can find out more about your particular product. What is it called, Stephen?
Well, the name is Doggy Goo, and there is method to our goo madness. Goo is actually peanut butter, but together with our veterinary dermatologist medical director, we chose goo peanut butter to carry the active ingredients into our dog's mouth, where we build tolerance to environmental allergies.
Environmental allergies. What creates these allergies then, Stephen?
Well, when you take a look at our itchy, paw-chewing, gunky-eared dogs, and once you've ruled fleas out of the equation, you begin to dig further and find that 85% of our itchy allergy dogs are actually allergic to the same pollen, dust, mites, and molds that we're allergic to.
Uh-huh. But when you say that, I mean, people have got more allergies now than ever before. Are we not building a resistance up? Is this the particular problem? Are we too, what shall I say, hygienic and healthy, or is it something that's inherited? I'm not too sure. I've seen a lot of it with golden retrievers, particularly allergies. Is it with a specific breed that kind of it comes out in, or what?
On the human side, allergies are, as goes mom and dad go the infant, and speaking to your Purell Society comment, that is actually a viable clinical theory right now in human allergies, that essentially our modern immune system is, frankly, lazy, too soft. And when subjected to the environmentals on top of the pollution and things of that nature, it just translates to increased allergies on the human level. When we look at our breeds, it's more breed-driven, and we find that, unfortunately, although the retriever breed is the most popular breed in the United States, it also tops off the list as the most itchy as far as a breed genetically driven.
That's my breed, so that's why I know about it more than anything else, I suppose. I deal with a lot of retrievers. I've had Labrador retrievers for a long, long time. And it's amazing how quickly, and I say particularly golden retrievers, have this kind of allergic reaction, and suddenly you've got hot spots. And then that's difficult to get rid of many, many times. But how does it affect behavior, do you feel? You know, you've got a dog, and it's got this kind of allergic reaction. Do you feel it has an effect on behavior, or is it something that the dog will just live with?
Martin, you make a very good point. I also have a background on the human allergy side, and speaking with humans who have never known a day when they didn't suffer from allergies, and I've long commented, and it's backed up by clinical studies, that the disease actually shapes who you are. Now, when you speak about breeds and the fact that allergy is a 24/7 snowball rolling down the hill, getting bigger faster as time goes on, then you begin to look again at breeds, and you just have to wonder if your itchy, paw-chewing, rather miserable dog's irritable aggression might be the result of the presence of allergies.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, it's one of the things I consider when I go into a home or when a dog comes here for a consult on behavior issues. We had a golden cocker that came in, and this poor little thing was just in a terrible state with its skin. And we treated it for allergies with all kinds of things, including oatmeal shampoos. And for short periods of time after we'd worked with him, you know, he was feeling a lot better in himself. He wasn't as aggressive. But once it would break out, I can just imagine how kind of, not sad as such, but kind of miserable, let's put it that way, he must feel.
Very much so, very much so. Where you and I bring our offending allergy troublemakers into our bodies through respiratory, with our dogs it's all about the skin. And those pollen dust mites and molds land on the fur, migrate to the skin, and actually transfer then through the skin, creating the immune response. And it's for that reason that you find that a lot of veterinarians are suggesting frequent bathing to, in essence, remove that troublemaker layer before they're absorbed. But as we know, it's a temporary fix.
Mm-hmm. Tell me then, what does your product do? You say you give it with peanut butter.
Yes, sir.
They're not allergic to peanuts, are they?
No. But our human boys and girls unfortunately do, and we have a human peanut allergy warning on our container. But we chose peanut butter because Dr. Kristen, our veterinary dermatologist, said that the best therapy drug in the world is useless if the patient is not compliant. And in the case of our canine friends, we have canine compliance as well as pet parents' compliance. So we use peanut butter because a great many of our canine friends do love peanut butter, but there's method to our goo madness. By that I mean is we tell the pet parent to take the goo and spread it thinly on a clean bowl or plate, and with every lick of goo, small traces of the pollen dust mite mold allergy troublemakers are brought into the dog's mouth, held there by the peanut butter, where it's then absorbed through the very thin skin of the mouth into the blood, and we begin to build tolerance to those troublemakers at the immune system level.
Is this like homeopathy?
Well, homeopathy is let like treat likes and giving the body what it needs to treat and address its own. However, that is also the principle of vaccination immunization at a MD, DVM medical level. So as a general comment, it is that let likes treat likes and leverage the immune system toward tolerance that we do follow.
That's quite fascinating. because I'm just wondering, you're doing it through the mouth. It's going through the kind of organs in the mouth into the blood that way. Do you find that's the best way rather than perhaps putting it on the skin as a lotion or something else in that way?
Well, when you take a look at delivering methodologies for medicines, you have, of course, injection, which is 100% into the blood. The oral status is down the gullet, through the stomach, liver, and only about 10-15% of the active ingredients hit the blood through that methodology. And not only do we have our goulicious peanut butter treat that the dog loves, but the sublingual oral method delivers the active ingredients at about 25% to the blood. Or 95%, I'm sorry.
And this product will be good for all kinds of allergies, will it? Or is it specific for certain allergies?
It's specific for environmental allergies. Those pollen dust mites and molds that trouble our dogs so much. You do have food allergies, but they statistically only represent 5% of our allergy dogs. But that doesn't mean that foods are not troublemakers for our dogs. Our other product called Goo Gut Rescue, which is an industrial strength pre and probiotic, addresses food issues because we found that dogs who have GI issues.
I'm coming back to you on the food ones, Stephen. I really
yes,
am. We're going to come back after we've heard from our sponsors. Thanks ever so much. Don't go away.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
And welcome back to All Post Pet Talk. This is Martin Dealey, and I always feel guilty of interrupting when I'm absolutely fascinated by something. Tell me more about this, the difference between intestinal allergies and the skin allergies. You say intestinal allergies are only 5% of the allergies today?
That is correct. A true medical allergy at the food level rarely only represents 5% of our allergy canine spectrum. But when the gut is out of balance, typically by antibiotics and heavy meds, the gut is reoccupied by pathogenic bad bugs. And provocative foods like beef, corn, chicken, wheat, soy, and corn do kick up a bit trouble, not as an allergy, but as a sensitivity or intolerance. And we try to address that provocative family group of foods through our Goo Gut Rescue, in addition to building strong pre- and probiotic presence in the gut.
So are we saying that if we want to kind of reduce the allergy effect or get rid of the allergy altogether, then we can use the Goo products, but we need to also change the food to some extent as well or not?
Well, the itchy allergy dog that represents that 85% population will be addressed with our doggy goo, building tolerance sublingually, as we discussed. We do have pre- and probiotics in there because, as a company, we're very gut-focused. Heal the gut, heal the gut, heal the gut. But if you do have an animal who has had a past heavy med antibiotic record, Goo Gut Rescue really does a good job to rescue the gut from pathogenic bad bug dominance.
In fact, it's interesting, isn't it? When you go with an allergy, the first thing they do is change the food because they say it's got too much maize in it, too much wheat in it, you shouldn't have a beef product, you should have a lamb product, or you should, whatever it is. And this is a product from the sound of it, which really is going to address a far wider range of allergies or far wider range of cause of allergies, which sounds excellent.
Well, thank you. Yes, again, when we take a look at our itchy allergy dogs, one of the most surprising facets of that allergy spectrum is, again, the dominance of our pollen, dust, mites, and molds that trouble not only two-legged animals but our four-legged buddies as well.
So when a dog is kind of chewing on his leg, chewing on his foot, things like that, this is where we're using, I presume, the Goo products.
That's right. Allergy typically, that allergy snowball starts rolling at birth and typically manifests at the 9-month, 3-year mark. And symptoms start off as a seasonal itch, paw chewing, gunky ear scenario, but quickly as the seasons roll, turn into just a nasty year-round presence that frankly just dominate the poor animal to the point of itching, open wounds, infection, hair loss, hot spots. In fact, the top three health issues that our vets treat in our dogs are gunky ears, hot spots, and skin trauma, which are all the result of the presence of allergy to environmental.
Isn't it just? In fact, it's quite fascinating. I've just got, a couple of golden retrievers in, and suddenly found they've got really gunky ears, and I've got to deal with that because I'm sure it's some kind of allergy that's created it, but I don't know what. So this is where a product of this nature fascinates me. Tell me a little bit. I mean, I keep hearing these things. I'm an older lad, you know, so I eat yogurt and stuff like that, but people tell me, well, that's the probiotic that you need, and I don't know. What really does a probiotic do, and it's within your product?
Yes, gut health is more and more being presented to the everyday two-legged and three- and four-legged animal population. Gut health is all about beneficial bacteria. in a ratio at the human level, for every 10 good bugs or bad bugs in our bodies, there is only one of us. And we, in essence, might even be viewed as a host for all these bugs that are traveling along and working together for us and for themselves. Now, going to a statement as early as Hippocrates, our Greek fellow many, many years ago, he said...
Remember him well.
Yes, you had a couple cold ones with him. He said that all disease starts in the gut. But to your comment on yogurt, yes, yogurt does have the live bacteria beneficial strains, but they're more of a pedestrian level. If you've got yourself a sickness or immune weakness, you do have to seek out more of a heavier probiotic beneficial bacteria strain. And what other people also forget is that they feel that or are told that the foods that they eat are typically okay as the food for the probiotics, which in fact you have to have prebiotics, which are specific to surviving the stomach, move to the small large intestine, to actually be there to feed the probiotics when they arrive.
Oh, good. Oh. all I know is that things like this, if I take them, always makes me feel a little bit better. So can I ask you, though, you have a dog which perhaps isn't showing any allergy symptoms. Would it be therefore worthwhile to actually use the Goo products without knowing they've got allergies?
Martin, you make a very good point. Specific to your retriever love there, it's not out of the question because allergies are very genetically driven. We even propose that you begin the mama, the future mama on Goo through pregnancy nursing and pick up the pups on Goo, or the very least to perhaps pick up the pups on Goo to preemptively stop the itch before it itches. Going back to our allergy snowball, at that early stage, that snowball still hasn't rolled very far or gotten very big, so it makes it far less difficult to stop and melt before it moves on to nastier, itchy, bitey, scratchy.
And I also see that you do something called, is it Silver Senior? Or Silver Goo, and it's for senior dogs. You call them senior varsity dogs. What's that?
Yes, our senior varsity dogs. As you know, our pet parents are just they're proactive medical consumers, not only for themselves but for their pets. And our pets are living longer, and they want to live longer and healthier lives. But which is true for us humans and, again, our canine friends. As the body ages, it does continue to make the necessary fuel for the structural, functional needs of the body, but it doesn't make as much of the fuel as needed to keep that peak performance. And with Goose Silver Broad Spectrum Supplement, we're supplementing that difference between what the body makes and what the body can use to maintain a nice, healthy senior varsity dog.
That's great. Look, this is fascinating. It really is. I think I'm going to start taking it myself because I was allergic to cats. I was allergic to pine and all kinds of stuff. It seems as I've got a little older, I've got a little bit more kind of resistance. I'm thinking a little peanut butter, and that would be ideal for me. I love peanut butter anyway, so I must be a canine underneath somewhere. But tell us a little bit more. How do we find out more? Which website can we go to? How do we find out a little bit more about the Goo products?
Well, Martin, thank you again for the opportunity to meet you and speak with your listening audience. HealthyGoo.com will introduce you to our family of Goo products, and we have respective Goo.coms for our Doggy Goo, Goo Gut Rescue, and Goo Silver. And we're also right now in the middle of formulating our fourth Goo product, Metabolic Goo. And, Martin, as you probably know, 50% of our dogs are a little on the heavy side. And Metabolic Goo is targeted to assist those dogs lose a little bit of those pounds.
That's fabulous. Thank you, thank you, thank you for spending the time with us. I'm going to try this product. As I say, I'm coming across so many dogs with these kind of issues more than I've ever seen before. And if I can make them happy, it makes them easier for me to train. Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you also to All Paws Pet Talk. I hope you've enjoyed the day. I have.
Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests. Ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk with your hosts Deb Wolf and Dwayne Granboys. Hey, Dwayne, how you doing today?
Deborah, I'm actually doing fine. Really looking forward to up here. It's a long weekend. Our friends to the south spend it a little bit later on than we do, but we're ready and set for it.
Oh, they should come up here and make it a super long weekend. Start with July 1. So we've got Stacy Mantle calling in from Arizona from PetsWeekly.com. Welcome again, Stacy.
Thanks for having me back, Deb.
Well, I'm sure you've got all kinds of new things on Pets Weekly. PetsWeekly.com, everybody. Check it out for facts and quotes and quirky things about pets. But also, Stacey's going to tell us what's on there lately, Stace.
Well, you know, today, since it's going to be 117 degrees out here, it's getting a little warm, we are talking about how to protect your pets from the sun and the heat. So I think a lot of people don't know that there's sunblock available for pets. Were you aware of that? I'm sure you were aware of that.
You know, what I am aware of is that zinc can make animals get the runs. And so a lot of people put zinc oxide on their pets and their dogs lick it off and then they have diarrhea and they wonder why. And there's a real simple reason: you don't use that on pets. So I get the connection. How about you, Dwayne? Did you know, because you live in a sunny place, did you know they make sunscreen for pets?
Well, yes, we've had this on our show. When you and I were doing our show regularly, we talked about this on many occasions, especially during the summertime. But no, I didn't know that zinc gave dogs the runs. I didn't know that. But there is some kind of...
That's what you want at the beach, right? A dog with the runs. Nice.
That's the last thing. Or on the way home.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody wants that at their campsite. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I didn't know that. But I know there are some things, and you and I discussed this, like... What kind of stuff do you put on there that a dog doesn't like other than some cayenne pepper with it or something?
Oh, to get him not to lick it off. Well, I'm sure Stacy's got some quick absorbing thing, right, Stace? What have you got for pets so they won't get sunburned on those pink noses and those bald spots?
We've got some really high-end. It's called EpiPet, and it's a sort of a high-end pet block, sunblock for pets, and it's designed specifically for dogs and cats. You can even use it on your cat. It's very safe. And it has, of course, no zinc because that is very dangerous. And you really want to stay away from any sunblock for, you know, people sunblock for your pets because that can be a problem. You know, even if your pet doesn't go out a lot, they just lay in the window, they can still get sunburn. And skin cancer accounts for 1/3 of all cancer deaths in pets. So it's a really big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal. You know, most dogs, wolves, coyotes, they would never choose to be in full sun, most of them. Most of them would stick to the shade and go out at dawn and dusk and avoid the hot times of the day. So if you're taking your dog with you and he loves you and that's why he stays with you in the hot sun, you really ought to give him some shade, you know?
Absolutely. Really, really critical, especially out here. You know, we run into this a lot. There's some really great little, I hate to say pup tent, but that's essentially what it is. And it's a little shade that you can just carry along. It weighs like 3 ounces, 10 ounces, something like that. You just pop it in your backpack and you can take it along and you have automatic shade. It just pops up. Your pet has shade. If you're on the beach or you're going to the pool and your pet's with you, you know, it's nice to get out of the sun. You got to be able to get out of the sun. So, even when your pet's with you, you still need to provide that, and that's a great way of doing it.
What do you think, Dwayne? Are you going to go out and get a pup tent for your pup?
That's an idea. I'm just kind of thinking, is it sort of like dogs that are darker or dogs that have darker noses than other dogs, do they tend to heat up quicker in the sun, like you would almost think?
That's a good question. You know what? Dogs that are most in trouble with skin cancer and sunburn are actually the lighter dogs, the dogs with pink noses, brown noses, freckles, blue eyes, any white coat. Those are the dogs that have the most trouble with skin cancer and sunburn. But black dogs heat up quicker. You're right. So they seek the shade more. They drink more. They don't like to sunbathe usually. And dogs with thick undercoats also. So, I mean, it's common sense, right? A Chihuahua is going to enjoy the sun much more than a Husky or a Samoyed or a St. Bernard. What were you going to say, Stace?
Oh, I was just going to reiterate exactly what you said. Yeah, you know, it's surprising, but the coat has a lot to do with it, too, on how much they're going to absorb, which is why you really shouldn't shave your, especially a double coat, shave your dog during the summer. I mean, it really does expose them to a lot of different things that they wouldn't be exposed to if you didn't shave them.
Yeah, there's a way a groomer can clip your dog really, really short, but not shaved. So there's like an inch of fuzz, and they're still protected, and they're cool. But when you shave them, like as if for surgery, they're bald. That's not fair. They weren't meant to run around like that.
Right, exactly. And it can open up a lot of problems with skin infection. And, well, you're aware of all that. And, you know, you need to make sure the groomer knows and understands the breed and how to treat it correctly.
And that their tools are clean, the waiting area is clean, the dogs seem well cared for and happy. If there's any tension or stress, you know, walk out. There's another groom around the corner. You got to go to a place that really, really is spotless. Because just like with those pedicure scandals, have you ever heard of one of those? I know it's like an urban legend, but it's true. Sometimes fungus and warts and all sorts get pinpointed as coming from a particular nail spa. And, you know, it makes sense. You got to be careful with this stuff. Right?
You really do. And pets are just as susceptible as a human would be.
I'm thinking about the dog's paws now. We've been talking primarily about the dog's nose and what to do and what to put on it to prevent any sun damage to the dog's nose. But, you know, if you're taking your dog out for a walk, you got your nice running shoes on, you're pretty well blanketed from getting any sore feet. But the dog is just really like your hand. Is there anything that you can put on a dog's paws, say, if people accidentally get into a situation where they have to go across hot pavement, and hot pavement is very hot, and even like beach sand, the darker the beach sand is, it can get very hot. I mean, really, all you have to do is
really,
go
really
and find that out.
To wear boots.
They do make little booties and shoes for dogs if you can get your dog to wear them, but I'd like to see video of some of the people out there trying it. It's not the easiest thing to get your dog used to. On the other hand, if you live in a place where they know they're going to burn their feet, they'll quite willingly wear them. We only have a minute left, so petsweekly.com. Stacey, what else can you tell people to go there for?
Well, you know, 4th of July is coming up. So last year they did a poll, and 41% of 1,200 dog owners said that they had at least one dog that currently has an anxiety issue. So that's a lot of dogs. I mean, they spend over $1 billion in the industry just addressing anxiety and fear problems.
Yeah, I think you're talking fireworks. We only have a few seconds left. So everybody, if you've got a dog who's scared of fireworks on July 1st, July 4th, they're coming soon. Check out petsweekly.com for tips on how to deal with that. Thanks so much, Stacey. I hope you'll come back next week with Duane and I.
Thank you very much.
Talk to you again.
Okay, well, Duane, we're going to stay on together. Everybody's going to a quick commercial, and then you'll be back to talk with us. And let's see. Okay, I'm just going to tease the audience a little bit. What do you think hummingbirds and twins have in common? What's the connection between twins and hummingbirds? Stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We'll be back.
And anytime you're near.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
Your pet may be sick and not even know it. Your pet may appear healthy, But a vast majority of healthy-looking pets are actually infected with parasites and other infections that do not manifest themselves until they overwhelm the pet, and the pet finally appears sick. Sometimes, by then, it is too late. To find out more about how you can help your pet to stay healthy, then go to www.quantumvetcare.com. That's www.quantumvetcare.com. www.quantumvetcare.com.
Hey, pet lovers, please listen up. I want to introduce to you Nature's Logic, the most natural full-line pet food ever made, and here's why. Nature's Logic is made with a variety of high-quality proteins, such as beef, chicken, lamb, and venison. You will never find any synthetic vitamins, minerals, or anything else synthetic in Nature's Logic. Only real nutritional foods, such as dried blueberries, apples, carrots, cranberries, spinach, and almonds. Foods loaded with natural vitamins and minerals, as made by nature, not a chemist. Nature's Logic is committed to providing the highest quality and safest nutrition for the furry members of your family. So folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit the Nature's Logic website at naturslogic.com and find a store near you. Nature's Logic can be found in many independent stores throughout Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So do your pets a favor and start feeding them Nature's Logic and treat them to the very best. Nature's Logic is truly 100% natural, the way pet foods should be.
Radio with Deb Wolf and Dwayne Grandboys. Dwayne, we've got Yair Altman coming up from Smart Silk.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to find out what that Smart Silk is all about. Now, you teased everybody with something. Do you want to just remind everybody, for people who just tuned in, what you did?
Well, thank you for reminding me, because I forgot. The hummingbirds. What's the connection between twins and hummingbirds? Do you know?
You want me to give you an answer to that?
Yes.
The connection between twins and hummingbirds is when they're very young, neither one know any words.
Oh, that's lovely. No, but
they
not.
Hum. They just hum.
Oh, I see. No, no, no. Actually, there is a connection. Hummingbirds, when they have babies, they always have twins. And so it's always two. And the twins will actually, they don't mate for life, but they twin for life. The twins will stay together for their entire lives, which I thought was just astoundingly different. So I thought I'd share that with everybody out there in the animal world. And now we have something else kind of different. We've got Yair Altman. Welcome to the show, Yair.
Thank you very much. A pleasure to be here.
So what is Smart Silk all about? Me and Dwayne, we've been trying to figure it out. We don't know.
Well, Smart Silk is a bedding company that's evolved into a company called Paws and Silk, where we make silk-filled bedding and silk-filled clothing for your lovely pets, for your dogs and your cats, and it keeps them healthy and it keeps them dry, it keeps them away from dust mites and allergens, and keeps their bodies cooler than anything else, and sleeping on the polar fleece blankets and polar fleece beds that they sleep on that accumulate dirt and accumulate dust and what have you.
So do they have a little bit of a natural tendency to want to sleep on something like that? Not
they
unlike
do.
Us?
The way it was actually developed was we make Smart Silk bedding, which is an all-natural, silk-filled cotton outer shell bedding. And what happened was one of our friends bought one of our comforters and took it home and called us up a few days later and wanted to buy another one. And we said, why? And he said, because since he brought it home, he can't get his dog off his bed. So we went from there. We made a pet pad, and then we made a pet bed. And the silk itself has very natural cooling and soothing properties to humans, and it has the same therapeutic properties for your pets. So it calms their body, it soothes them, and therefore they're attracted to it.
Yeah, I think I'd have a problem with this if I had silk sheets and silk comforters, silk bed. I'm not sure I'd ever get anything done.
You get a lot of stuff done in your bed. There's no problem.
Oh, I see those kind of things. All right, Dwayne,
anything, but it's a very comfortable, comforting product.
Wow! I mean, this is the pampered pooch that gets silk.
It is for sure. They tend to gravitate to. We have Maggie, who's our mascot, is a Briard, and she's about 90 pounds. And she sleeps only on the paws and silk bedding. Anytime we put something else down, she leaves that, goes back. She comes to the office with us, and we have about four beds lying around the office, and you can know where to find her, any one of the four points in the office. That's where she's sitting.
So did you determine the actual qualification for using the term smart silk as opposed to any other silk, the difference between smart silk?
We did. Our silk fill products, some of them are proprietary and patented. We developed the silk so that everything's machine washable, as is with the paws and silk. You take it, your pet sleeps on it, you take it apart, the bolsters come out, you throw it in the machine, you dry it, you put it, the bolsters back in, and you put it back on again. So we're one of the few silk products that are actually machine washable, machine dryable. We're hypoallergenic.
Oh, it doesn't just shrink up completely? Because I've done that.
Not,
I've put silk in the washing machine, and it was not a good result.
No, it does not bunch up. It does not shrink up. What it is, actually, underneath the outer shell, it's sheets of silk that are layered one on top of the other, and then they're quilted together. So there's no shifting, there's no bunching, there's no moving, and it's consistent throughout. Not that it would matter for the pet products, but for the human products, you don't have any cold air pockets as you would have in a down comforter, a polyester comforter, a duvet. There's no shifting of products. So the same thing on the pet products. The inner fill doesn't move. So when your pet sleeps on it or lies on it, it stays constant throughout. And the silk products are made in denim, in a heavyweight denim outside for durability.
Right, you were talking about these pockets and how they work to help soothe the animal and give the animal a nice, comfortable place where they would prefer to be. Speaking of pockets, do you have to have deep pockets to own one of these?
No.
No?
Absolutely not.
By comparison, what are we looking at?
You're looking at probably about $150 for a big bed
How long will it last?
Oh, it's going to last you a lot longer than these $29.99 specials that you buy. So this will last you probably we give a 90-day warranty, and this should last you at least a couple of years. There's no reason why it shouldn't, unless your dog attacks it. Other than that, it's going to last you an awfully long time.
So if a person is interested, what do they do from this stage? I want to see more. I want to find out more.
We have a website. Yeah. Which is pawsandsilk.com. We also have a Twitter at Paws and Silk and Facebook at Paws and Silk. And if they want more information, they can feel free to call us on our 1-800 number. It's 1-877-674-6755.
Oh, this just sounds so good. I want to see a dog or a cat enjoying a silk bed. If I go to that website, am I going to see somebody cute sprawled out?
For sure. You're going to see Maggie. And you're going to
Very nice. So where is your company located? Is this an American
made?
We're located
in Montreal, Canada.
Montreal. Okay.
And we have distribution centers in California, in Philadelphia, in upstate New York, and in Texas.
And where's the silk from?
The silk, it's all made in China.
Okay.
Products are all designed and engineered in Montreal, and they're actually manufactured and produced in China, primarily because China makes the best quality of silk that you're going to get, the most consistent silk you're going to get. And the silk is all hand-pulled.
I just can't believe there's silk that can be machine washed. That just blows me away. I want clothes like this because silk, you don't get hot in it. You don't get sticky. It's the best fabric. It always looks dressy, but the problem is the dry cleaning bill. So you've kind of solved that.
No dry cleaning here.
So, but you don't make any clothes, do you?
We only for your pet. We make a pet. We make a pet coat. We make a raincoat.
Toga, I guess. Yeah. You make a coat for pets? Oh, that's too funny.
We do.
Okay,
we
so do.
We make a pet coat. We make a raincoat. We make a little jacket for them to wear in cooler days. And again, it's all lined in silk so that it's breathable and their bodies never overheat. They stay at an even temperature, an even keel temperature.
Well, thank you for joining us today. We only have a minute left, Jair, so
no worries.
I hope
thank
people...
you so very much. I appreciate the opportunity. It's a pleasure to have met you all.
Oh, yes, it was great. Have a great day. And
thank
Dwayne,
you as well.
I know you're still there. We're going to come back, and I have to talk some music with you. I have a little bone to pick with you, Dwayne.
Oh, do you?
Yes, I do.
Well, good luck with that. If you're going to challenge me on anything to do with music, you know you're
come so. On now. Let's go, big dog. Okay, stay tuned, everybody. Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And
you know that I need you too.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand. A true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all 4 paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Radio with Deb Wolf and Dwayne Granboys hosting. Hi, Dwayne.
Hello, hello.
So a few weeks back, you said on air, you agreed with Dr. Kevin, and you both agreed that this generation's music pales in comparison to your generation's music. And I didn't like that. I got to say, I'm thinking Adele, I'm thinking Bruno Mars, I'm thinking Alanis Morissette, I'm thinking of all kinds of talented people. Katie Lang, she's not your generation. I mean, come on, really?
No, when I first was aware of music was in the 60s, like the Beatles. So I'm a Beatles Rolling Stones guy from that, because I remember listening to them when I was young and just loving it.
Right.
That stuck with me. The decade that sucked, as far as I'm concerned, is the 90s. And I've been in radio since I was 16 years old. 90s had nothing. The 80s was fabulous. 60s was fabulous. 70s was half disco, half punk. Mm-hmm. And the 90s were just kind of in the tank. But 2000, it's pretty techno now.
And if I think of animal songs, then really there's so much out there.
But there's no animal songs from the 2000s. Is there? Nobody sings about dogs anymore.
Well, what about Edith Bruckell's Ghost of a Dog? When did that come out? There's a whole CD, and that song was so haunting. Or didn't Kevin Bacon have a dog song recently? There's a few out there.
Kevin Bacon can't sing anyway, for crying out loud. Neither can Snoop Dogg, and he's all about a dog.
Oh, no. All right, well, right to Dwayne Granboys with your fan mail for Snoop Doggy Dog. Okay, so we're talking to Dr. Carol next, and last week we were talking about traveling with your pets, and is it dangerous? And we mentioned antifreeze puddles at gas stations, and we mentioned when you go visit a cabin or a cottage for the first time, you got to flush those toilets and make sure there aren't chemicals around like ant traps and things that a dog might eat. But Dr. Carol has way more for you. So welcome to the show, Dr. Carol.
Well, thank you very much, Deb.
What do you think people need to know as they travel?
Well, the first thing people need to know before they travel with their pet is you got to plan well ahead of time and make sure that your pet is actually welcome at your destination choice. Once you've taken care of those two points, you want to visit your veterinarian, make sure that your pet is not only healthy, but able to travel. When you're at your veterinarian's office, your pet will receive a physical exam. The vet will make sure that the vaccine records are up to date, and it's a great idea to get a copy of your pet's records and take them along with you. That way, if you encounter an unexpected health issue, you'll have all the documentation that you need so that the next veterinarian can help your pet. If you're traveling by commercial airlines, you'll need to have a health certificate signed by your veterinarian within 10 to 30 days of the date of departure. And remember that certain pets, the very old, the very young, those that are sick, frail, especially those that are pregnant or in heat, are probably best left at home. For those people that are traveling but for some reason just can't bring all the pets in the family with them, visit House Sitters of America online. They've got a staff of real pet lovers, some of whom will even pet sit at no charge. And there's all kinds of pet sitting information available on Facebook where you can see your pet every day and visit together and have all kinds of great times. So keep that in mind. And once everything is set with the vet, you need to go to the groomer, make sure that your pet is clean, that he or she smells good, and that the toenails are well trimmed. And for pet travelers, camping and going to various places to enjoy this upcoming holiday weekend, your pet should respond to basic obedience at the very minimum. They should come when called. They should sit and stay. Unruly pets, those that lack manners, those that are aggressive or chronic barkers, probably not the best traveling companion. Now, there's all kinds of campgrounds and hotels and motels, all kinds of places that welcome pets. And about 50% of travelers do plan to enjoy all kinds of pet-friendly commercial venues right along with Fido and Fluffy. There's about 30% more hotels, motels, parks, campgrounds, resorts, etc., all just waiting to pamper you and your pet. If you're trying to get ideas, tripswithpets.com has all kinds of great vacation ideas. And remember that the AAA Travel Guide has all kinds of listings, along with there's a little dog lover's companion guide that offers all kinds of inside scoop. You can visit www.doglover'scompanion.com. And remember that when you're traveling and the holidays are going on, especially the 4th of July, what that means for your pet, although it's lots of fun, it also means stress. So you want to try as much as possible to keep your pet's routine as simple as possible. Be sure to bring some food and water from home. If you're worried about an upset tummy, the general rule of thumb is no food or water for about 4 to 6 hours prior to traveling. If you're looking for something to soothe your pet's tummy, remember that ginger is very soothing. You can give your dog a little piece of a ginger snap cookie, for example. Other natural products, including mastica and glutamine, they're over-the-counter nutrients, and they're given by mouth and work like a charm to relieve and help to avoid motion sickness. If you've got a pet that's got a little bit of the jitters, you're looking for something safe, remember that Box 5 Flower Rescue Remedy is a natural liquid homeopathic formula. Placing a few drops into your pet's mouth or directly into the food or water bowl works as well for your dog and cat as it does for people. And again, there are no adverse side effects. If you get an upset tummy while you're on the road or enjoying your holiday, again, withhold food and water for about another 4 to 6 hours. You might brew up a little pot of peppermint tea and enjoy a warm cup along with your pet. It'll soothe your tummy as well as Fido's. A cup of warm chamomile tea is tasty. It also helps to calm nerves and relieve anxiety. If you're a little more nervous than that, you want something a little bit stronger, melatonin, a simple amino acid available over the counter, 1 to 3 milligrams, depending upon your pet size, works quite nicely.
That's very interesting. Do we have to take a break here now, Deborah? I'm not exactly sure. And then come back or what?
Yeah, in a couple of minutes we do, and we'll be back with Dr. Carol to talk more on this. But, Duane, I know you've got a question for her.
Well, I was just wondering, do they gauge anything on size, like when you go to a hotel, on the size of your dog? And what happens if you have a dog that has to be let out a lot? And what if you get a barking dog? You just bark at anything. You're going to hear all kinds of noise in a hotel, and generally that'll spook a dog out. So what happens if you've got a barker and you're in one of these hotels? I've never taken a pet to a hotel, so I don't know what the procedure is.
Well, again, before you make a move like that, if you've got an unruly pet or a dog that's a chronic barker, the truth is that pet is not going to be your best traveling companion because he's going to disturb all the other guests, and then chances are you're not going to be welcome back next year, and neither is anyone else with their pet. So pets need to be trained. They need to understand basic obedience.
We're going to come back from the break and talk more about traveling with your pets and safety and some other issues as we approach summertime and everybody wants to celebrate July 4th. Maybe you shouldn't take your dog to the fireworks. I think you shouldn't. I see miserable dogs stepping on broken glass and getting all kinds of stuff on them and around them and in their nose, and it's terrible for them. We'll talk about that. I'll ask Dr. Carol, is that the right place to bring your dog? Okay, so stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk.
I'm your doggy, and I love you, and you know that I need you too.
Is your pet eating too fast? Well, we have the healthy solution. IQ is the perfect solution to help your cats and dogs lead a better life. With their new patented design, their bowl will make your dog and cat live a culinary experience by having them eat like nature intended. Having to play with their food not only reduces the chance that they have weight problems, but will also let them enjoy the chase, like they would in nature. Designed by a veterinarian technician, this bowl was acclaimed by veterinarians and behaviorists around the world and won Becker's Best in Show at the Global Pet Expo in 2012. Get one for your cats or dogs today at your local store or online at AIKIOU.com. That's AIKIOU.com.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
Hello, you're back on Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I have a quote for both of you, Dr. Carol and Duane, from just watching TV, a show called Pretty Wicked Moms. And there's one of these pretty wicked moms, it's gorgeous, very phony woman, and she's quoted saying, "They don't take my baby seriously just because it's a Shih Tzu." And she's walking along in her heels and her designer clothes with this Shih Tzu and a stroller. And I just think, like, you know, where do you draw the line with these people who think pets are babies? Are pets babies? And, yeah, you take your kid to the fireworks. Do you take your dog to the fireworks, Dr. Carol?
Personally, I don't think it's the best venue for your pet. Mostly these pets get scared. They're hearing is far more sensitive than ours. Even pets that are left at home, it's a great idea to take a couple of cotton balls, depending on the size of your pet's ears, and just stick them in those ears. It just helps to muffle the sound. Again, don't forget to take them out of your pet's ears. And Deborah, as you said earlier, you know, there's smoke and fire and glass and all kinds of chaos. So in my opinion, as a veterinarian, I don't think the actual firework display is the best venture for that for pets.
Well, the step on factor, they're just stepped on constantly. It's dark, you know, people are stepping on their feet. Like, it's just, there's just an, even the most lovey dog only enjoys it right before it happens, right?
That's exactly right. And wherever you plan to go or travel, you know, if your pet has a little carrier, that's ideal. But make sure your pet has a little place of privacy, so when he or she has had enough of the festivities, they can go to their personal space and they don't end up getting cranky or irritable or aggressive or other things like that. You know, dogs are just like kids. When they get overtired, they get cranky and they get irritable, and then some of the bad things start happening. So, you know, it really comes down to just using good common sense in most
cases. Dogs really don't have a perception of position, and in my opinion, because I work in radio, and if I'm ever working on a shift after a stat holiday where there's fireworks, I'm always getting calls from people saying, well, we lost our dog, the dog took off. Normally the dog is really good. We're missing a dog from here, there, and everywhere. And it's cats, dogs, a lot of them right after that. Some people have even phoned and said, yeah, I took my dog to the fireworks in the back of the truck, and he loves riding in the back of the truck. He doesn't have a leash, and I don't know what got into him. All of a sudden, when the fireworks went off, he took off. And, you know, I'm not, you know, trying to stereotype anybody here, but that's what they were doing. I mean, it's ridiculous. I think, in my opinion, and correct me if I'm wrong here, when a dog hears an unruly noise, whether it's thunder or whether it's a big bang of a firework, they think that this, where they are right now, is the place where that noise is, and they got to get away from here, from where they are, so that the noise will disappear. Does that sound like a good analogy?
Well, I think it's even more simple than that, Duane. I think that it's a loud noise and it's scary. It's kind of like a vacuum, only even bigger. And why do dogs and cats run away from vacuums? Because it's loud and it makes a scary noise, just like a little child. You would, in general, have the same reaction. So, you know, do you want to put your pet under stress in a situation like that? Use your common sense and leave your pet at home where they'll be happy, and then you can enjoy the fireworks and know that your pet is safe and sound at home, and when you get home, he or she will be there wagging that tail and waiting for you.
You know, I feel like we have to go where we probably shouldn't go. You're thinking, oh, no, don't go there. Don't go there. I don't have answers for the people. But we're on fireworks, and to me, fireworks, for the dogs who are absolutely terrified of thunder, fireworks trigger it similarly. So I think there's a connection. I think there's a connection between gunshots and cars backfiring and fireworks that mimic the sounds of thunderstorms. But let's get at thunderstorms. I know there aren't any quick solutions to it, but there are just so many dogs, not so many puppies, but almost every elderly dog I've ever met, and so many, many dogs who are terrified. So what can people do, Dr. Carroll, for dogs who are absolutely scared out of their minds when thunder and lightning come?
Well, once again, you can put a couple of cotton balls in those ears. You can use something to safely calm your pet down, which could range from melatonin, the natural amino acid, 1 to 3 milligrams given by mouth that we discussed. The Box 5 Flower Remedies is that natural solution of homeopathic flowers that can be given by mouth or even rubbed onto the pressure points, would be the hairless areas of the inside of the ears and the groin, for example. You can cuddle and hug and love your dog. And if you don't feel like cuddling, hugging, and loving, you can buy one of those thunder shirts. And they do the same thing. You strap it around your dog's chest, and it just makes them feel snuggled up and a little more safe. And it's, again, just like a small child or a baby. When they're afraid because of a thunderstorm or a loud noise or whatever it might be, you cradle the baby, you hug them in your arms, you make them feel safe and secure, and you focus on calming the individual, be it two-legged or four-legged, and relieving stress naturally through your love and additionally through some of these natural supplements that we've mentioned.
You know, with the Thunder shirt, I know people are skeptical because it does seem a little hokey to put a T-shirt on your dog. Or even when you were talking before about putting earplugs in the dog, I'm sure people were thinking, oh, yeah, right, try and keep earplugs in my dog's ears. Well, actually, if your dog is troubled by loud noise when you put the earplugs in, he'll leave them in there because he doesn't want the noise more than he doesn't want the earplugs. And the same is true with the Thunder shirt. When you put a Thunder shirt on a dog who's truly nervous, he doesn't try to take it off. And he stops panting, he stops pacing, he stops digging at the floors, he stops freaking out a lot of the time. Whereas you put it on a mellow dog, he might try and take it off. He doesn't need it. So, you know, some of these things work with pets who actually need them.
You know, that's correct. And, Duane, you know, you made a comment about, you know, the fireworks go off and the pets are lost and running around. You know, before you take a trip anywhere, always make sure that you've got a leash and a collar with identification tags that have updated, accurate information as far as your name, address, phone number, etc., so that if you do get separated, regardless of the cause, you have a much higher chance that you'll actually be reunited with your pet after the incident has ended.
It's amazing sometimes when we get calls, when I get calls to the radio station in the morning, and then we'll eventually link them up. And it's a great feeling when you do that, when you link up the pets with their partners. But sometimes dogs in particular, or cats, can be a long ways away from where they're lost. I mean, they will cover a lot of ground.
Well, they will. And because those little ions in the brain of the pet align up with the ions in the atmosphere, that's how these pets that do get lost and travel miles for years and years and years eventually end up finding their way back home. But it's that very same connection of those metallic ions in the pet brain that correlate or line up with those elements in our atmosphere that allows dogs to know that we're going to have a thunderstorm or an earthquake or a volcano or whatever it might be prior to its occurrence. That's the same way that a diabetic little dog helper can alert the owner prior to a diabetic attack. Or,
Dr. Carol, this is so interesting. This is the smart animal talk we want on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And we only have 30 seconds left. So we're going to have to come back next week. And this is what I want to talk to you about. I want you to go into this further. What are you talking about? Ions in the dog brain? Oh, my goodness. We need to know about this, don't we, Duane?
Metallic ions in the dog's brain.
you do indeed. And it is also involved with the dog's sixth sense, which is called the vomeronasal organ, and connects the dog
the ESP.
To the full exterior and gives them that extra ESP.
Oh, the ESP in the nose. Okay, so maybe I'm going to have a bigger nose so I could have ESP. All right, everybody. We'll be back next week again with our menage a trois, apparently. We're going steady, Dr. Carol, Duane, and I. Right, Duane?
Apparently we are, yes, and that's okay with me.
Well, we have to put the ring for Dr. Carol. I'm not exactly sure why that happened, but maybe I'll put you in charge of that, Duane. Okay, Dr. Carol, we'll be talking next week about ions in the canine brain and maybe cats, too, on Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb Wolf and Duane Granvoyes. Be good to your animals.
And anytime you're near.